Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the V2 Retail Limited Q1 FY26 conference call hosted by Marathon Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer: the presentation which V2 Retail Limited has uploaded on the stock exchange and their website, including the discussions during this call, contains or may contain forward-looking statements concerning V2 Retail Limited business perspectives and profitability, which are subject to several risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially differ from those in such forward-looking statements. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akash Agarwal, Director and CEO of V2 Retail. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Akash.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. We trust you've had a chance to review our results. The earnings presentation and press release are available on the stock exchanges and our company's website. As we begin FY26, we do so with strong momentum and a clear sense of purpose. We are operating from a position of strength, backed by innovation, executional agility, and the deep trust we have built with millions of customers across the country. We are not just responding to the evolving landscape of Indian retail; we are setting the pace. Our strategy is clear and future-ready to lead the next wave of growth in India's value fashion market. Our sharp focus on customer centricity, powered by deep data insights, agile merchandising, and a tech-enabled supply chain, continues to deliver measurable impact. We are building a business that's not only scalable but also resilient, responsive, and ahead of the curve. The sustained and accelerating customer traction we have witnessed in this quarter is a clear validation of our strategy. It reflects our unwavering commitment to delivering fresh, trend-led assortments, maintaining exceptional product quality, and offering unbeatable value. This powerful combination continues to drive strong, broad-based performance across our store network and further cements our position as a market leader in India's value fashion segment. FY26 is shaping up to be a landmark year for us, and we are entering it with confidence, clarity, and conviction. Let me start with some key updates. Revenue growth accelerated by 52% year-on-year to 632 crores. Net profit surged 51% year-on-year to 24.7 crores, marking a very strong earning momentum. The company opened 28 stores and closed one store during the first quarter, taking our total store count to 216 stores. The store addition momentum will continue as we have a very healthy pipeline of upcoming stores. Further, we've already added another 9 stores so far in this quarter, taking the total count of the stores to 225 stores. The same-store sales growth for the quarter stood at 5%, with strong double-digit growth in May and June, offset by a temporary dip in April due to the early Eid shift into the quarter four of FY25. On a normalized basis, the first quarter SSSG stood at 10%, reflecting sustained consumer demand and precision in assortment planning. There was a robust volume growth of 50% in the first quarter. The full-price sales contributed 92% of our total sales. We are proud to report a consistent improvement in ROE, which stood at 27.5% in the first quarter, up from 23% in FY25 and 10.7% in FY24. This sharp trajectory reflects the strength of our operating model and disciplined capital allocation. Now, consolidated performance highlights for Q1 FY26. As we track business performance on pre-Ind AS basis, it would be prudent to share the highlights basis pre-Ind AS numbers. Revenue from operations stood at 632.2 crores, registering a 52% growth on a YOY basis. Gross margin stood at 29.4% for the first quarter FY26, as compared to 28.8% in the corresponding quarter last year. The EBITDA stood at 52.5 crores as compared to 32.2 crores, registering a growth of 63% on a YOY basis. EBITDA margin improved from 7.8% to  8.3%. Profit after tax stood at a record 30.6 crores as compared to 18.9 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year, registering a growth of 62% on the YOY basis. With this, I now leave the floor open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vishal Dudwala from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead. Hello.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. First, like in Q1 26, you delivered 52% YOY revenue jump, and so saw ASP rise 17%, but PSF fell 9%. Like, how are you calibrating your channel mix, like digital versus brick-and-mortar, and what specific productivity initiatives are you looking for, like, to offset the footfall dilution from rapid store expansion?
So first of all our sales is brick-and-mortar. We don't have any online sales. And the PSF dipped a bit because we opened a lot of new stores, and the new stores typically do about 25% less in per square feet sale than the older stores. If you look at only the old stores in quarter one, it was around 1,100 rupees per square feet PSF.
And can you guide, like, looking out for FY28, what revenue share are you targeting?
Revenue share from what?
Like a brick-and-mortar and your new store expansion for forward-looking.
So we look at a 50% revenue growth going forward, and in that we look at a 8 to 10% SSSG. So that's from the old stores, and 40% revenue growth from the newer stores.
Okay, that's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek from AB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
You're audible.
Congratulations on great set of numbers. Every quarter you're following what you had guided for. So the news came out that you are doing QIP. So you had told, I think in one of the interviews, that you will open 100 stores, and for that you don't need any external capital. So now that you are doing QIP, can we be greedy and expect more openings beyond 100?
Yeah, that's a very valid question. So we have got an enabling resolution approved, and we are planning to raise money. It's not out of necessity or weakness. We're doing it from a position of strength. Our business has delivered one of the best quarters in recent history. And I think it's a proactive move because we want to accelerate our momentum and also future-proof our growth. So the value fashion market in India is poised to grow for the next decade. And we believe next 3 to 5 years are critical to capture disproportionate market share. So it will help us be debt-free. It will help us invest more in making our model stronger. And yes, it will help us accelerate our future growth trajectory also.
Okay. And you had told that this year you will be mostly PAT positive in all quarters. Do you think you still hold that view?
Yes, I think we should be PAT positive in all the quarters.
Okay. And just wanted to know, how is the competitive intensity on the ground? As in, are you finding it difficult to find newer geographies to open fresh stores?
So see, competition has become the new reality. We look at it as an external factor that is out of our control. Of course, a lot of retailers are opening a lot of stores, but being a tier two, tier three, being our target, main target market, there is still a lot of availability of locations. In fact, in 25 states of the country, we have a store coming up in the next 6 months. So there's work going on in 25 states of the country. So till now, we are not facing, so we still have more options in terms of real estate than we can open.
Okay. And our SSG has come down a bit due to large base. Do you think it will come down further or it will stabilize at 10% going forward?
I think it should stabilize at 8 to 10%. That is our target, even with a higher base.
Okay. Is there any headwind that you are facing, any concern at all that you would like to face, that you would like to flag? Any issue, anything?
No, in fact, even July, we are doing better than our expectations. So the momentum is going good, and we are continuing to see amazing response in our older stores as well as the newer stores. We are still, passing all the metrics that we had targeted. So hopefully this momentum continues and everything looks positive.
Okay. And what is our per store opening cost? Like, basically, I wanted to know that if we raise the QIP 400 crores, how many stores can potentially be opened with that money?
So first of all, the whole proceeds will not be for newer stores. A lot of it will be to get better terms from vendors. A lot of it will be to repay debt, and a lot of it will be to improve the back-end capabilities in terms of automation, supply chain, technology. So per store opening cost, including CapEx and inventory, is about 2.5 crores. So we need at least 250 crores every year just to open 100 stores.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akash. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. Akash, just wanted to start with, you speak very passionately about customer centricity, and that seems to be working for us. As we expand rapidly, how are you ensuring that that value proposition doesn't get diluted? And if you can elaborate more, a bit more on what we are doing to kind of be very sharp on this particular aspect of the business that you keep pressing about.
Sure. So I think our biggest strength is leveraging data. So we collect data from the customers and the sales at 40 to 45 different attributes of each and every article, and all the space allocation in terms of category, in terms of color, in terms of fit, in terms of print type. It is done based on that data. Because if the customer behavior is telling us that a loose fit T-shirt is selling or giving us a 20% higher gross profit per square feet than a regular fit T-shirt, then we increase the number of options in the loose fit T-shirt. Similarly, if a color is giving us a better gross profit per square feet, then we increase. And the mobile number is a unique customer ID of each and every customer. So we do a lot of automation in terms of SMS, WhatsApp, in order to get that customer back to the stores. But I think the main strength is leveraging data, capturing data at so many different data points, and using that to improve the offering. And that is why you can see our full price sale is 92%. And even with lesser marketing spends, we're still getting more footfalls and doing a very healthy SSSG.
Interesting. And you spoke about a store expansion that will be entering new states. So what percentage of your expansion will be in existing markets and which will be completely virgin states where will you be entering?
So about 70-75% will be in existing states. and about 20-25% would be in the newer geographies. But I think in 2 to 3 years, there will not be a single state which will be a new geography for us. We want to be a national level retailer. That is our aim, that is our target. And I think in the next 3 years, we will be present nationwide. So every market, every geography will become an old geography for us.
And just wanted to understand, as it happens in, let's say, grocery retail, when they enter a new territory or new state, it is initially margin dilutive because of the whole logistic intensity which comes there. How does it play out in your business? Are the completely one-store states are usually margin dilutive initially?
No, so our logistic cost is just 1.1% of the total business. So it is not significant enough. Even if we open a new geography, the delta or additional, I think, logistic cost would never exceed 0.1 or 0.2%. So that is never the determining factor of whether entering a new geography or not. It all depends on per square feet sale. It all depends on what kind of, you know, the offering that you give to the customer, collecting a lot of data in terms of what categories are doing well in that particular state or geography, what attributes of an article are doing better in those geographies, and then implementing all the learnings that we got from the data when we open further stores in the similar geography.
And the last one, if I may, for last almost 12 quarters, we have been kind of, seems to be immune to the macro environment. We are growing irrespective of the commentary that we hear from larger consumer players also. Now, as we grow to a size where macros will matter, how's your read of consumer sentiment on ground for this year or immediate future?
So when you hear stories, you definitely hear a demand pressure throughout rural, tier 2, tier 3. But like I said, even in July, we have seen good traction. It was, in fact, better than expected. So I think when the macroeconomic factors and, you know, the macros also start supporting us, then we can even post better numbers. But till now, we have seen that our product strength, our pricing strength, our variety strength, and the complete back-end supply chain, the availability of products. So all those trends are working well for us. And I think macros matter less when there's such a big shift happening from unorganized to organized. So even when the total consumption doesn't go up, this shift contributes to a good, you know, CAGR, CAGR growth for just the organized part of the sector.
Got it. That's all from my side and all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Neeraj from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead. Hello.
Yes, sorry, I was on mute. Sorry. Thanks for the opportunity. How many stores are you under discussion for opening them right now?
I think 76, there is still work going on. And if you talk about shortlisted properties, then there are more than 150 properties that are shortlisted.
Okay. And the 150 is 76 included in 150?
No, 76 does not include that 150.
Okay. So and how much timeline generally it takes from shortlisting to opening?
So there are different types. So one is BTS, one is semi-BTS, one is, you know, where the raw building is ready. So typically you can say 3 to 6 months.
Okay. So what is the new target for you to open the stores in FY26 and maybe FY27, if you can give thoughts on that?
So this year, initially the target was 100 stores. I think we are on track. We should be opening about 100 to 120. And again, the next year's target will completely depend on this year's performance. If we have another blowout year like the last 2 years, then next year we will increase the target to 130 to 150 stores.
Okay, so what it means is that all these shortlisted don't go towards opening. Only some percentage of them go towards the final opening. Is the right way to look?
Yes.
Okay. So, but aren't you then upgrading your number of store addition or a proposal to increase raise the money?
Yeah, so it will be dependent on whether we go ahead with the QIP, and if that happens, then like I said, we will increase the store opening target this year by 20-25 stores and next year by 30-40 stores.
Okay, that's extremely comfortable. But okay, the other thing is on the going all over a lot of new states. So are you going to put up new warehouses or only the existing ones?
So we just finalized a new zonal warehouse in the east, and then we'll have two zonal warehouses now, one in Gurgaon, one in the east. And we have already started the hub and spoke model that we spoke about last quarter. So we already have 8 hubs operational now. So that takes the load of the warehouse away. And now whatever state we enter, the hubs can easily fulfill the particular state.
How much any cost will increase because of the new east warehouse in the east?
Yeah, so there will be an investment, total investment of I think 25-30 crores in that new warehouse.
Okay, but that would lead to a meaningful increase or aggression in the east side, or is that the right way to think?
So, all the sourcing done from the east or, you know, the cities that are closer to the east warehouse will go to the Calcutta zonal warehouse, and all the goods sourced from Ludhiana, Delhi will come to the north warehouse, and then each warehouse will send their goods to the respective hubs that will deliver to the stores. So we've already started replenishing once in 2 days, and a lot of stores daily, which used to be earlier once a week, or for the fast-moving stores, it used to be twice a week.
Okay, that's interesting. And last question on the revenues per square feet for new stores. Can you share some differences of the stores that you have opened in the same state that you are present in a reasonable way versus the stores that you have opened in the new states? Any difference in revenues per square feet that you are witnessing?
We did take out this data, but we did not see any significant difference. In fact, a lot of newer states that we entered, the average per square feet sale for newer stores were better than the new stores that we opened in the existing geographies. So it is dependent on a lot of other factors, that is competition intensity and the kind of population density. So it is not completely dependent on a new geography versus old geography. So what we have seen is average per square feet sale of newer stores is constant across geographies.
And those numbers are still tracking that within definitely 2 years period, the revenues per square feet per store goes to the current average. You are still tracking that happening.
Yes, so our benchmark is 30% lower than old stores, and currently our newer stores are doing somewhere around 26% lower than older stores. So it's well within a healthy benchmark. And from the first month itself, the newer stores are doing about 800 rupees per square feet of sale.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ali Asgar Shakir from Motilal Oswal Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Akash. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations on quite an excellent performance. Akash, few queries I had. First is on the gross margin. So I'm seeing both on standalone and consolidated gross margins have, you know, seen very decent improvement. In fact, standalone is higher. So if you can just explain, is it a factor of mix or because one of the biggest factor that we had was we were far more competitive in the market. So have we taken any price increase, and does that gap versus competition come down? And also if you can explain the gap of gross margin between standalone and consolidated.
Yeah, so there are three, four things that happened here. So one is definitely a product mix. Second, we reduced the overall marketing spend. So a lot of marketing gifts that we give to the customer as a part of Bill Buster is part of our gross margins. So that had reduced, I think, 20-30 basis points. And also, we made a cost committee about 6 to 7 months back. And because of consolidating fabric purchases and fabric sources and, you know, doing open costing with the vendors, we were able to save about 1% of a gross margin there. And the difference between standalone and consolidated is because now we have shut down our manufacturing units. So earlier manufactured goods, a lot of part of the cost of the product used to go in manpower cost. And only the raw material part of that goods were part of the COGS. So that is why there's a difference in the gross margin. But going forward, I think the gross margin that is there in the standalone will be prevalent and more relevant to our business.
So sorry, I didn't get this point. You're saying manufacturing was sitting in the subsidy basically. And because
yes.
of that, the margins are relatively lower there because some of the component is not like to like because the cost is coming in your gross margin.
The margins are higher there because the COGS only has the raw material part of the cost of making the product. The actual salary of the tailors and everything goes in the employee cost.
Got it. Which will be the same now going forward because you've shut it down.
Yes, yes.
And what is the reason of shutting down? Because I thought that one that was one of our mode because of which we were able to get lower cost products.
Yeah, so the whole aim of opening the manufacturing units was to get transparent costs of making each and every category. It was not, it didn't make business sense to be opening manufacturing units for every 30 stores that we added. So it was only to get transparent costs so that we could negotiate the right prices and the right SAM minutes for making each and every product with our vendors. And we've been able to achieve that. And in fact, we've given the factory to a vendor itself who's supplying it to us now. So instead of investing our own money and, parking our working capital there, now we can achieve the same costs by getting it from contract manufacturers.
Got it. So there is no price increase related improvement in gross margin?
No.
Okay. So in terms of the competition, we are still equally competitive and sharper pricing, right?
Definitely.
Got it. Second question I had on the SSG. So now, of course, in the past, your SSG were way higher because obviously base was also low. Now we are indicating a 10% SSG. So just want to understand from a, industry point of view and how it should play out for us because generally this industry is seen to be a bit cyclical. You see 2-3 years or maybe 4 years of, very good, strong SSG. And then probably because of either, market factors or the consumer, weakness in terms of purchase, we see this, SSG going back to flattish territory for a few years and then again rebounding. So, in the context of how the macro plays out, do you see any impact of SSG also for us? Or else if you can just give a little bit insight from where this 8-10% SSG is likely to come. Is it going to come from increased wallet share, more footfalls? How are you guys thinking about this SSG?
Yeah, first of all, I think our segment is the least cyclical business. I think what we are selling can be categorized as non-discretionary, looking at the average selling price and the price segment that we operate in. So I think the cyclical or the numbers that you're talking about, it relies more on one's own execution level or if somebody makes a mistake. But I think if you're doing the basics well and you're focusing on the strengths and you keep offering what the consumer is asking you at the right price, then I think we should be able to get a 10% double-digit SSG going forward. And out of which I think the ASP increase would be inflationary, so should be about 3-5%. And the rest of that should come from volume growth. That can also be from a mix of additional footfalls as well as a rise in average bill value.
Got it. Understood. And just last point on the store ads. So you told me that just now you indicated that your new stores are around 25% lower when they are opened in the first quarter. But if you think from a year's point of view, are they breaking even in the year that they are opened? How much time do they take to break even? And for whatever indication we have in terms of our growth, how much will be the drag from the new store, or will they be, you know, from a EBITDA or PAT point of view, accretive in the first year itself?
So, like I mentioned, newer stores start from about 800, as old stores are doing 1100. And our break-even point is at 500 rupees per square feet sale. So newer stores are breaking even from the first day, from the first month of operations itself. It's just that that per square feet sale is 25% lower. So their EBITDA would be, pre-Ind AS EBITDA would be 6 to 7%. And the older stores would be somewhere around 10%.
Got it. So they will be likely, you know, margin accretive, or sorry, profit accretive from the first year itself.
Yes.
Got it. And just last thing is on your EBITDA margin. Now, this quarter also we've improved our EBITDA margin. Now, I think we are hovering close to around 8% level. So you think you will maintain this and pass on the benefits to the customer in terms of, you know, better pricing, or you think with your operating leverage, now margin can improve from here?
No, with our operating leverage, I think there is scope for the EBITDA margin to improve. So there are three levers for that to happen. So one is the head office and the warehouse cost will be distributed over a larger area. The second is moving the per square feet sale even higher with that 10% SSSG. And the third is better full price sale and a better product mix. But like I said, our gross margin target is the same. It is around 28-29%, which is already passing on most of the benefit to the consumer. So these levers can be used for the expansion of EBITDA margin.
Got it. So what is it that we should reach, achieve in 26-27 EBITDA margin?
So the target is 10%, but anything over 8 is good, because even an 8% EBITDA margin gets us a 24-25% ROE. But of course, the target is to reach 10% in the next 2 years.
So, FY27.
Yes.
Understood. Okay, very clear. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best. Fantastic numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Palash Kavle from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead. Hello, sir. As there is no response, we'll proceed with the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Varun Singh from AAA PMS. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you. My first question is on store addition guidance. I think you mentioned 120 store. Did I hear it clearly that this 120 store is net store addition for FY26?
Yes.
Okay, so I think in front of maybe 70-72 stores that we added in 25, around 120 stores, 100 or 120 stores we can add in FY26. That understanding is correct, no?
Yes.
Super, sir. And my second question is... on the objective of the fundraiser, I'm sorry, I actually joined the call 15 minutes later. I'm not sure if you have already answered, but just wanted to get the clarity and understanding on the 400 crore fundraise that we wish to do. So what's the objective of the usage of the fund?
Yeah, so it's about accelerating our momentum, like increasing the store opening targets by 20-30 stores every year. It is future-proofing our growth. It is being debt-free, so paying off all the debt. It is working our, managing our working capital better in terms of being the best paymasters in the industry, so that we can even get better cost from our vendors. It is investing in infrastructure and technology. So it is a mix of all these things that the funds will be used for.
Okay, sure. But like as on today, in our balance sheet, we have hardly 100 crore of short-term borrowing and 20 crore of long-term borrowing, 120 crore. So, is that, because any which way is, or you are saying that we don't want to exist with short-term borrowing in future?
Can you repeat that question? I lost you for a second.
No, I'm saying that in your balance sheet, we have 120 crore of debt as on today, or maybe yeah, on FY25, wherein the bulk of it is short-term borrowing. So, like when you say objective is to repay the debt, you are saying that we will be free from all long-term, short-term borrowing, and in future we want to, we don't want recourse to banking facilities?
Yes, that's what I meant. So if we raise capital, then we will repay all the debt because, you know, it doesn't make sense to have that debt if you're raising money through QIP.
Okay. So after repaying debt, what is the second major cause that we wish to invest? Is it store opening? And what would be third if it's store then?
Yeah, so first will be repaying debt. Second will be, you know, additional, if you open 25, 30 stores also, in 2 years, there'll be 60 additional stores. So for that 60 stores, we'll need about 150 crores. And the rest will be for, you know, paying off our vendors, better payment terms for vendors so that we get a better pricing, more sharp pricing, so that it increases our competitive advantage. And the rest would be for newer, you know, warehouse investment, technology investment, infrastructure investment.
Okay, understood. And just one last question. You spoke about the value chain or the warehousing part wherein we will significantly improve our supply chain, which enables us to maybe do twice, two days drop in a week. So in this regard, just wanted to understand that will there be a meaningful, I understand 1% is your logistics cost, but still the cost of servicing stores. From that point of view, will there be a meaningful reduction on that front? And I mean, my understanding is it is margin accretive. If you can educate us some a little bit on this investment and the benefits.
Yeah, so see, increasing the frequency of dispatches or fulfillment to the store, of course, it won't reduce the transportation cost. But what it does is we have to hold lesser inventory at the stores. So it improves a lot of store operations and it improves a lot of inventory management at the store. So those benefits would be seen in the subsequent quarters. So that should lead to a even a better, higher per square feet sale. That should lead to lower inventory at the store level. So those are the benefits of this. And of course, it makes the store operations a lot easier because instead of processing 7 days worth of inventory together in a day, now the store team has to do that for only 2 days sale inventory.
Understood. Understood. Sure. Thank you very much, Akash, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. So this is Gaurav from JM Financial. My question, you know, is with regards to just a clarification on the volume and the value growth. So when I see the volume growth is around 50% for Q1, and the ASP increase comes around, you know, from 260 to 300, so is around 20% odd. So not 20, near 15, 16%. So where is the disconnect, you know, because the top line growth is around 52%.
I think that's because of the change in product mix, because we have reduced a lot of general merchandise goods whose ASP was really low, like 30, 40 rupees, and apparel contribution has gone up. So that is why we're seeing such a sharp increase in the ASP.
Okay. That's helpful. Akash, my next question, you know, is given that, you know, you are increasing the overall scheme of operations with practically 150 stores being added in this year, or rather 125 stores being added in FY26, and another 150 odd with the next year. So how are you building the team strength? What all additions has been done at the overall team basis? You did mention on the warehouse capabilities, but what all capabilities other than this would be required, you know, to reach to the next level of your revenue targets and store targets?
Yeah, so see, there are three pillars to this. So one was, of course, the supply chain. So we've taken care of that. We finalized the warehouses. In terms of technology, we have invested in Centrix PLM and Centrix Planning. So that's also a pretty significant investment that will take care of the process, planning, replenishment, and assortment planning part of it. And in terms of team, so we have been on a hiring phase for the last 2 years because we knew the kind of growth we wanted and we wanted to build a strong foundation. So we have hired, I think, a key manager person in a lot of new departments, and our business development team used to be 4 members, now it is 16 members. So similarly, that kind of expansion has happened in each and every team, because again, like, if we want to grow at 50% for the next few years, then all the manpower and all the bandwidth is welcome. So we started focusing on hiring 2 years back, and it is still a focus, and we are still hiring. And but I think we already have a very good bandwidth, and we showed that by opening 72 stores last year, and we are well on track to open 120, 130 stores this year. So management bandwidth is not a problem, because we started focusing on it 2 years back.
The leading question to this is, you know, given that now we are seeing many value retailers getting aggressive on store expansion. So, you know, if we just calculate the total store openings by you, some Zudio, Style Union, etc., it comes to around, you know, practically 1,000-odd stores being added during the year. Now, given this, are you seeing inflation in the rentals for the new properties, or inflation or any shortage in the manpower that you are looking to hire, because the talent crunch again would be limited in that extent? So any cost inflations that you are witnessing here, and how are you managing this?
So average rental currently for us is about 53 rupees. And if you look at the average rental of the new stores that we have finalized, I think it's around 41, 42 rupees. So in fact, it is less than the average rentals we are paying today, because we've moved away from the idea that, you know, in order to enter a market, you need to finalize a store right in the center of the market. Because we give importance to other factors like floor plate, parking, that enhances the customer experience. And we've seen that the customer, if you have the right product and the right brand recall, and then you can attract the customer 500 to 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers away from the market also. So that is really helping us find good locations with big floor plates, big frontage, and at a much more competitive price than if you were looking for a location right in the center of a market.
Sure. And any inflation in the manpower cost that you are seeing, you know, given that now there is also diversion of the manpower to the quick commerce guys also, and the lower level employees, are you facing any challenges to hire there?
So the lower level employees at the stores, they're mostly at minimum wage. So attrition was always high there. That is why last 5 years we moved away from being manpower centric to being a lot of, you know, process focused, where anyone even in 2 days can get the training and start giving output. So all our store operations does not rely on manpower. They are completely automated. They are completely process driven. So we are not facing a lot of challenges there.
Got it. Thank you for answering my questions, Akash. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a request to all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Palesh Kawal from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible this time. So congratulations on the good set of numbers, Akash. My first question is again on the finalizing the location. So what kind of metrics do you look at apart from the parking that you mentioned? Is it also like you look for the shape and size of the floor plan that you're getting? Like, is it also important for you?
Yes, definitely. The floor plan is also important. So we have about 70 different factors we look at. The distance from railway station, distance from the nearest bus station, the average benchmark sale of the competitors, the width of the access road. So we have made a model which helps us give a probability out as to how that store would do. But we have seen from our experience that how many variables you add, you know, the model hasn't been that accurate. So we take into contingency that, you know, if we open 100 stores, we might have to shut down 4 or 5 stores. But yes, the floor plan is also taken into account when we open a store in terms of efficiency of display and the customer movement.
Okay, that's really helpful. And my next question is, like in Q1, it was supposed to be a seasonally slightly weaker quarter because of shift in Eid festive. Despite of that, you've grown by 50%. So is it safe to assume that for the whole year, like you'll be easily doing better than what you are guiding right now?
We always believe in, you know, under-promising and over-delivering. So I wouldn't want to get expectations too high. But yes, definitely, like I said, even in July, that trend is continuing. So internal targets are definitely better. But we guide for 50% revenue growth and a little bit of expansion in EBITDA, so which is anyway phenomenal in itself. So if we do anything better, it'll be over-delivering.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. And all the best for the upcoming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kushal Goenka from Mangal Keshav Financials LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Anshu on behalf of Kushal from Mangal Keshav. My first question is a follow-up on one of the participants' questions on the QIP. So 400 crores is more than the total current equity base that we have. So just wanted to know the rationale that isn't this a huge dilution and which would also harm the return ratios for the foreseeable future? Because currently, we are doing around 25% ROE, if I'm not mistaken. I'm repeating this, sir, but as you mentioned in the last call, also that you would not need any equity or borrowing. So what changed in one quarter and when will the QIP happen?
No, so we've always been clear that if we feel that the performance, good performance continues and we want to accelerate our growth, then we won't look at additional debt and we would look at, you know, QIP or equity dilution. And right now also, it's just approval of, you know, enabling the QIP process. But we've always been very disciplined in our capital allocation. You know, our return metrics speak for themselves. And I think if we do a QIP, it will always be in line with creating long-term value for all our shareholders. And I've already mentioned the needs and if we raise funds, where it will be used. So I think it's about, you know, if you're doing well, it's about the next 3-4 years is a good time to get a good market share in this Indian value fashion market.
Okay, and sir, since you're planning to become a full-fledged pan-India player, so are we planning to hire more senior management like a CEO or regional heads?
Yeah, so we are hiring across departments and we are looking for senior manager people also. And we have hired, in fact, 3 key managerial personnel in just last 3 months. So with the kind of growth trajectory we are on, we would need all the bandwidth and we are well prepared and we are looking for good people who can contribute to our business.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishnu Lakhani from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for this type of result. I have a question regarding brick and mortar, which currently we are using. Are you planning to get into online or we are just continue in the brick and mortar? Hello?
Yes, we are exploring the omni-channel business. But I had mentioned this earlier that we are still struggling with a good technology partner. And it's not of a very urgent priority for us. Even when that omni-channel business gets mature, it would not contribute to more than 4-5% of sales.
Operator request has been initiated. If you'd like to cancel this request, please press *0 again.
Can this regarding raising capital? So earlier you mentioned that we are not going to raise capital. And we just raised. Is there any possibility in the near future that we will raise capital again?
So there's a lot of disturbance from your line. Your voice is not clear at all.
Hello.
Sir, may I request to use handset?
Okay, sir. My questions are already answered. Thank you.
All right.
Hello.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Varad Patil from New Vernon Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, what will be our total CapEx for FY 2026? And also, can you break it down into the CapEx for new stores, the warehouses, warehouse additions that you are doing, and if there's anything on top of it?
So we plan to open 120 stores this year. So that is around 300 crores of CapEx plus inventory required for those stores. And if you include technology, warehouse, that would be additional, I think, 40 crores of CapEx.
Okay, so 3-4 crore. And earlier, you used to guide for 2 crore CapEx per store, including.
It was always  2.3-2.4.
So CapEx
is.
Increasing costs.
No. CapEx was 1.1, and inventory was about 1.3, paid inventory. So it was always 2.3-2.4, and it is still at the same level.
Okay. So 2.5 crore is higher end of the range that you present.
Sorry, sir, you're not audible.
Yeah, no. So you mentioned
may I
request 2.5 crore.
Use handset?
Yes. So you mentioned 2.5 crore per store. So that
Yeah.
is the higher end CapEx per store that you're expecting. It's not an average blended basis.
No, so it was always 2.4, so I'm just rounding it up because, you know, if every quarter we're opening 30 stores, there'll always be additional inventory in the system for those upcoming stores.
Okay, so you're not witnessing any increase in capital costs?
No.
For store additions?
No.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Devanshu Bansal from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Akash, you mentioned increasing the frequency of drops at the stores, right? So I wanted to check because we did some visits to your stores. They suggested that you also have a local warehouse, which is quite differentiated versus the other value retailers that operate in the specific areas. So how do you see that? Because obviously, with local warehouse, we could have sort of stormed inventory at stores and gradually sort of bring them on the main floor. So do you plan to sort of move away from that local warehouse model by sort of increasing the frequency of drops at your stores? Just wanted some thoughts around that.
Yeah, so currently, the store warehouse takes anywhere between 7%-8% of the floor area. And now that we're doing hub and spoke and the frequency has increased, we are reducing the warehouse area to just 2%-3%. So that gives more space for the customer, more space to display more options, and less store operations in terms of put away and picking.
Understood. And currently, you mentioned that your inventory at store is 1.1 crore, and obviously, with higher frequency of drops, you would be requiring lower inventory at stores. So, as in, what is your targeted inventory per store, maybe going ahead down 1 to 2 years down the lane when you sort of perfect this model? So, what is the target of inventory reduction at stores?
So, currently, we keep about 10 to 12 days of sales cover at the store. We plan to bring it down to just 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
Except the display stock. So, there's a display stock, and then there's a 10 to 12 day sales cover at the store. So we plan to bring that down to just 3 to 4 days.
Understood. And what would any ideas in what would be the segregation between display and cover, as in broadly between
display is always constant, no matter the per square feet sale
yeah,
of the store,
yeah, yeah,
and the sale
yeah.
is dynamic. So display is about you can say 40 to 45 days, and rest is sale.
Understood.
And sir, lastly, also wanted some clarity on in-house versus outsourced manufacturing that we will be pursuing. So currently, what was the component of in-house sourcing for us through our own manufacturing facility?
It was about 5%.
Oh, okay. Only 5%. Okay. Okay. And from a new store expansion perspective,
sir, sorry,
what are the...
May I request you to
no
join
issue.
The queue again? Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Akash. Thank you for taking my question. So just one thing, Akash. So in the last 1.5 years, we have clearly accelerated the store additions. This quarter, the store growth is almost 70%. And now with the fundraise also, we are looking to accelerate more. Even though it is good because you're seeing positive signs, but the other aspect is also that uncontrolled store expansion is basically the primary reason why a lot of retail outlets eventually fail. We also had a past bad experience as well. Obviously, the balance sheet is different. But like back in 2017 also, we added say 70% stores, 70% more stores in just 1 year, and then next few quarters are not good because the SSG was not good. So how do you see that say kind of a risk going ahead now, given that we are continuing to add stores at a very rapid pace?
Yeah, so first of all, whenever we talk about store opening numbers, we've always mentioned that we don't want to blindly chase growth by compromising on any of the metrics, that is per square feet EBITDA, per square feet gross margin. So whatever expansion happens, it happens in phases. So the next phase of expansion is always dependent on the execution of the previous phase. So the day we feel, you know, the newer stores are not within the benchmark of 30% of old stores, the old store SSSG is going down, or, you know, any of the metrics we see that it's not up to the mark, then we would just, postpone and cancel the expansion, the next expansion phase. And second, we've never been in this position where, you know, we have the leadership position in terms of per square feet sale, in terms of profitability, and wherever we have a store, we are at least 30 to 40% higher in terms of throughput and sales than our competitors. So I think we've never been in this position of strength where, you know, we felt that we were strong enough that now we can open, grow at this speed. And second, and third, if you look at the last 4-5 years, that was a period of consolidation. So if you look at the growth over 5 years, then it would not look that much. So those 4 years were about strengthening the model, increasing the per square feet sale, from 650 odd to more than 1100 for the old cohort of stores. So there has been a fundamental change in the business which gives us this confidence. And like I said, it's only after, you know, we have built a foundation now in terms of management bandwidth, in terms of technology, in terms of getting the product right, getting the supply chain right. So there's very little manual intervention in a lot of processes of the business. So that overall gives us the confidence that, you know, we can do this. And last year also, the 72 stores that we opened, the response has been phenomenal. And, you know, the kind of customer feedback that we are getting. And so this, I think, all together gives us the confidence that we should be accelerating growth.
Okay. So just one thing. So in your understanding, if you are getting, say, 8-10% SSG, then you're comfortable opening, say, 50-60% store addition. That, in your understanding, that is not a risk, right?
So there are two things here. So SSSG is one. And second is, mm-hmm. what percentage, what per square feet sale are the newer stores doing? So that has to be within 30% of old stores. So even with a 10% SSSG, if newer stores are doing maybe 40-50% less than old stores, then we would have to rethink the strategy.
Okay, okay. So 8-10% SSG and 30% lower square throughput is the right benchmark to look at.
Yes, yes.
Got it. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rohan Advan from Prad Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is that your ability to improve your pre-Ind AS EBITDA margins from the 8% to 10% over the next couple of years, in spite of such a significant ramp-up in store addition. Is that dependent on a certain SSG number at this 8-10%? You feel confident there are enough levers to deliver that, or would you need a higher SSG to expand margins from here on?
So yes, it's a very valid question. So the aim of 10% EBITDA, for that, we would definitely need a higher SSG. I think the SSG we need for that would be around 13%-15%. But that is why I also said, you know, anything above 8 is good. That is our aspiration. That is where we want to get to. So there should be higher SSG and of course better product mix, better full price sale, and of course cost leverage also. So all those three things need to happen for the EBITDA to expand 200 basis points in the next 2 years.
Okay. And at that 8-10%, 8% margin is defendable.
No, if it is 8-10%, then we might go till 9. We might not reach 10. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And just lastly, on the you know, pre-Ind AS versus post-Ind AS accounting, one of your peers has, I think, restructured their leases to bridge the gap between the two. Do you plan to do something like that, or you are not really thinking about it?
No, so like we track business performance on just pre-Ind AS basis. So I think it would be redundant to, you know, focus on the post-Ind AS, because I think for a business like ours, it's an irrelevant number. So we focus always on pre-Ind AS numbers, and we always give guidance on pre-Ind AS numbers. So we don't need to do that.
Okay. Understood, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jatin Deshpande from Fincade Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So firstly, I wanted to ask on the SSG. So can you share the SSG number for the stores that are greater than 2 years old, if you have any idea about that?
So I don't have it offhand, but what we have traditionally and historically seen is the newer cohort stores are growing at a higher rate than the old mature stores.
Right. So yeah, that is the reason I'm asking is ki, as you say, this 8-10% SSG is sustainable. So like, can I assume that it is going to be the same for the next 3 to 4 years?
Yes, that we would like it to be the same for the next 3 to 4 years. But again, it all depends on the execution. But if your business model is good, if your product offering is good, there is enough customers in the market, and there is enough customers entering your total addressable market every year for a good brand to be doing a double-digit SSG.
Got it, got it. And my last question is on the store ramp-up that you have planned. So I have to assume that your stores do much better in our core markets like UP, Bihar. So what are your how you plan adapting newer stores in the new markets, like let's say Karnataka or Maharashtra? Like, how you plan the merchandise and the trends there?
So I already mentioned this also, that the newer stores that we opened in newer geographies, they are at the same level as the newer stores in the old geographies. But whenever we enter a new geography, we collect a lot of data from the store that we've opened, and all the subsequent stores that we opened in the new geography or the new state, it already has the assortment and the space allocation by using the data from the older store.
Got it, got it, got it. And any problem on the supply chain side? Like, do we have any concentration risk from the vendor side, or we have a diverse set of vendors there? Like, then you are.
So we have about 250 vendors, so it's very pretty diverse, and we have more than 500 vendors who want to work with us. So that's not a challenge, and we are not over-reliant on any single or any group of vendors.
Got it, got it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Karthik from LFC Securities. Please go ahead. Hello, sir. As there is no response from the participant, we'll proceed with the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Vora. Rajesh Vora from Jamie Ventures, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Akash. Congrats on pretty good set of numbers. Your aspiration has been to reach 1500 rupees revenue per square feet per month. Is that possible in the next 3 years, given this aggressive ramp-up of new stores?
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
Your aspiration has been to reach 1500 rupees of revenue per square feet per month for V2 Retail. Is that possible in the next 3 years, given aggressive ramp-up of new stores?
I think that's being too optimistic. Even if we reach 1200 rupees PSF at the national level, old and new stores combined in the next 3 years, that would be amazing trajectory for the business. Because even with the 1200 rupees per square feet of sale, I think the ROE numbers are around 40%, so which is phenomenal. So that would be our first target before we talk about any number higher than that.
Good. Okay, that's useful. And at that level of 1200 rupees per square feet per month, pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin should be what, 8-9% higher?
No, at 1200 it should be around 11%.
11%. Okay. And that you think is feasible in the next 3 years?
If we continue doing the good work, and if we are on this trajectory and we continue the momentum, then yes. That is the target.
Interesting. That's useful. With CEO leaving recently, is are you assuming that role or are you looking for new gentlemen? How are you thinking about that?
So I have assumed that role currently, but we are on the lookout for, you know, a lot of positions also, because with the growth trajectory, we need more people. So, but right now I'm handling it and, you know, I've assumed the role and, yeah.
Okay. And last thing, what is the typical incentive structure for store staff who are doing great job and helping the company grow pretty well consistently over the last few quarters, and we've already reached 92% of MRP. So what's the typical structure, and given the aggressive growth we are planning, how can we, you maintain your best-in-class rigorous processes and SOPs with this kind of growth?
So, yes, a lot of our key people, key personnel at the store and head office, they've all been given retention bonuses. And in terms of variable salary, so each one of them have monthly, quarterly and annual targets. So, you know, they have different slabs. They can earn as much as 50% of their salary if they achieve certain targets. So last 2 years, because we've performed so well, I think average everyone has been getting about 15-20% variable, you know, percentage of their salary. And that seems to be working well for us and motivating our employees.
Interesting. And does that mean that we are amongst the best paymaster on a total basis compared to our competitors where these folks can work or have been working before?
Yes, definitely, because we've been able to achieve our targets. So, of course, with the incentives, we would definitely be paying them more than what their counterparts are earning at competitions or competitors. But we don't have the exact benchmarking, but looking at, you know, a lot of store managers and assistant store managers, the attrition has been lesser since we have announced this scheme. So it seems to be working well.
Great. Thank you so much, Akash, and all the very best for all the targets.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Netik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the queue. Give me a moment. The next question comes from the line of Akash from AJ Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. So, one question related to, for last 2-3 years, we have rapidly expanded, and this year again, we are planning to open 100 plus stores. So, many consumer companies are reporting weak or muted demand. So, don't you see any risk in expanding at such a high pace in current environment?
We are expanding not for the short term or, just to get profits of 1 year or 2 years. It's a long-term expansion for the next few decades. So, short-term macroeconomic factors can't affect decision-making in terms of growth trajectory of the business.
Okay. And last one, sir, our full price sales are at 92%, and compared to other retailers, this is quite high. So, how are we maintaining such high full price realization? Is it function of brand positioning or supply chain efficiency or store level execution?
So it's a mix of better forecast, better merchandising, better supply chain. So I think it's a mix of all those things. The teams being efficient and offering the right kind of fabrics, colors, fits that the customer likes, and we don't have to put it at a discount.
And just last one, sir, on your design team. Your in-house design and product development team, they play a very superior role. So, what is your competitive edge there?
It's very hard to explain that on a call until unless you go and visit our store and see our products versus our competitors, because everybody on call can say their products are better or their assortment is better. So you need to actually see the product, see the pricing, see the quality to understand, why our per square feet sale is higher, why our footfalls are higher, why our conversions are higher, and why is profitability higher.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Akash Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us on today's call. We hope we've been able to address your questions and provide clarity on our performance and outlook. Should you require any further information or have any additional queries, please feel free to reach out to Marathon Capital, our investor relations advisor. They'll be happy to assist you. We appreciate your continued interest and support. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of V2 Retail Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.